This call is now being recorded.
Hey, this is Gun Sully up here in D.C.
And Tech Sully's still at work.
He's not in a car yet. It's weird. I had a crazy morning with my job. So I'm normally a night owl, but once again, I got woken up by my wife in the morning asking if I could drive her and pick up her sister and drive them into work because there was another smoke situation in the metro. And a few months ago, there was a smoke situation, meaning basically an arcing line, an electrical issue, caused plumes of smoke to billow out of the tunnels and envelop an entire train car. And, you know, a lot of people have problems with tunnels. And, yes, the tunnels go underneath the Potomac. One of the tunnels does, is specifically the Orange Line. And, they couldn't get to work via the metro because the news was so genteel about this. They said, in between the Rosslyn and Foggy Bottom Metro Station, there was an arcing incident creating smoke, and we had to clear out those metro stations. And just so you know, Rosslyn is in Virginia. Foggy Bottom is the first station in D.C. And instantly I was like, oh, my gosh, that was an arcing, you know, electrical smoke incident that happened underwater in a tunnel.
Oh, that's a little terrifying.
Oh, yeah. I just had to do some charity reconnaissance at the Wounded Warrior Project in downtown just now, and I had to make sure Sophia didn't want a ride home. She's stuck at work for another hour anyways, she'll risk it, but damn, that is scary.
I would not like to be on fire underwater.
Yes, well, in the way the smoke, the 80 people had to be taken to the hospital a few months ago when the smoke happened. Just the thought of the situation was so horrific. And there is probably the most heartbreaking audio of a voicemail that a father left on his, somehow he got to dial out. And it's really hard to get reception in the metro in different spots, but somehow he got to dial out, and he left a voicemail for his family. And it's just devastating because, deadly plumes of smoke are filling the metro. 80 people are taken to the hospital. One person died. And this guy thought he was going to die too. And, he left this really uplifting message saying, hey, I've really enjoyed being a son, and I really enjoyed being a father. And I hope you guys have a great life.
Jimmy.
Sheesh. So, yeah, it's a scary thought when you put yourself in a tube and you have to trust you have to trust your life to the infrastructure of PD.
I don't think we're recording it, but one time a couple months ago, I had one of those moments where I thought for sure I was about to die, and I just said goodbye to you. And then I, the tire around, went in off the road of air, got around the semi, was attempting to murder me. And, that was my last words were almost goodbye.
Last words were almost what?
My almost last words were almost goodbye. Just said goodbye.
Jeez.
Yeah. That, kind of like the Futurama. I told my wife, I said hello.
Yes. That is the one I came up with at work. Is, tell Jennifer at work, I always thought she was kind of cute.
Oh.
I thought of that one before going into the military secure space.
Tell Kenny at work, we all know he's stealing.
Yeah, that would be a better one. Well, there are a collection of famous last words. I do want to just clarify that wasn't that guy's last words. He survived the situation.
If you're in that same kind of position, that feeling, it's a terrible feeling.
It's an absolutely horrible feeling. And then when you hear the message, I'll try to look it up and post in the comments of this, but when you hear the message, it's just heartbreaking. I mean, you definitely get put in the moment there with them.
There's something called the final tweet or something like that on there you go. Hold on, I'll find the thing. Tweet here, it has the last tweet somebody does before they die.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and like Leonard Nimoy's was, a life is like a garden, perfect moments can be had, but not preserved except in memory. Live long and prosper. That's a good one to go out on. Other ones, Joshua Ozersky, he says, so I'm in Chicago, where should I eat?
Oh, wow.
Tweeted that May 3rd, died May 4th at noon.
Sheesh. In Chicago? Was it natural causes? Who was it?
That is somebody named Joshua Ozersky. I mean, you know. And the cause of death is listed currently as unknown because that was on the 4th that he died.
Wow. Gee, that's morbid. Yeah, we were talking about famous last words. It's one of those jarring. If you've ever been a witness to a crime where somebody's life ended, and the police are asking you for every detail, and you remember, you know, you're telling them the words. It struck me in one of those situations for me, the investigators go in and out of the room, and different ones will come back in, you know, because they're trying to make sure that they get all the details that you truly remember and make sure you keep your story straight from whatever story you're telling. And one of the, you know, big long spaces where I was waiting, it struck me that I may be documenting someone's last words.
Yeah.
And that was where it really started to sink in, the whole gravity of the situation.
But, you don't watch people die. I think it was Seattle where I saw Ms. Wyman emphatic. You and I are both emphatic about, you know, right of way in the car. Somebody waved another person on, you know, saying, oh yeah, you know, I'll stop for you. Come on out. So that person comes out and then they're trying to make a left turn and somebody else comes up in the left turn lane, T-bones them, kills them instantly. I mean, you know, I see the guys in that scene. So you don't have the right to wave somebody out, you know?
That's a huge thing to try to explain to people. You cannot give the right of way as a gift to other people. If you have the right of way, it's not because, you know, an unfair privilege has given you a special gift that you can have the right to give to other people. The right of way is calculated. It's actually a calculated thing where people have thought about the most dangerous way to go has the least right of way. The less dangerous has the right of way. You know, so that's how it is. And I had a woman in the first lane of traffic eastbound. I'm trying to make a left turn onto a westbound, and she's in the closest lane to me, stopped. The 4-lane road. And she stopped and is waving me out in the traffic. And I'm like, there's 3 other moving lanes, and this lady is honking her horn and like, come on. And I'm thinking, does she want me to die, or does she honestly think that, you know, everyone else will just let me come through just because she is?
Disturbed Doomsday Cult. You know, that's how they induce the population.
Yeah, that's in the same cult your Good Samaritan there in Seattle was in.
Yeah. No, you don't have to come out. No, you really. Yeah, you don't
disturbing.
I mean, here's the times when you can get the right away. You're hauling a boat, and you know that, you know, you've got like 27 seconds of staring at this guy in the face, and it's a one lane road, and you're going, look, you can go ahead and pull out. There's no way I'm going to hit you. As long as that person's going straight, not making a left, and you're on communication with them on walkie talkie.
Yes. That's yes. Oh, man. So, see my video last night about getting we're sending the thank you cards out finally.
I saw your post, but I was driving yesterday all the way from Baja'i.
So you were in a car?
Yes. So I had decided to spend 8 hours, actually close to 16 hours of my Mother's Day weekend driving. Because why not? Yeah, honestly, I mean, the joke is I'm always on the road, but it's somewhere close to being true.
Yeah. You know, I gotta say, I like the place I live. There's this armed gang here that has their headquarters right down the road. It's the police station. But it is nice being outside my place and just seeing tons of plainclothes dudes with guns on their hips. Also, the other day I was going to the courthouse to get our marriage certificate. I get out, and this was Friday. I get outside, and I look up, and I see what appears to be a B-52 bomber over top of Roslyn, Arlington, Virginia. And I just say to myself, you know, what the F is going on here? And, it turned out that was supposed to be, that was a normal thing. That was, the flyover for VE Day. Totally skipped my brain that was VE Day. And yes,
yeah.
There was a flyover going on, which was pretty cool. And then, went and looked down my balcony and saw a bunch of biplanes going by and stuff. It was a bunch of some of them were actual World War II planes too, not just remakes. So if you snap some pictures of it, we'll try to post them on the podcast if we can zoom in enough to see them. That's a thing that's so annoying about cameras.
I don't know if I want a 100-year-old plane back to never my head.
What was that?
But it's cool and scary at the same time. I don't know if I want a 100-year-old plane zipping over my head.
Yeah, it's cool, but yeah, especially after. Last month with the gyrocopter guys.
Yeah.
That jackass. So, yeah, we're, one of my friends, I'm sure he was joking, but he posted, Secret Service, let us down again. There's about 12 bikes we want from DC. But, yeah, Secret Service. I'll look out for that.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, the German Secret guy made me want to do.
What?
It made me want to get a gyrocopter. Those are cool.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, when are we going to be flying around, huh? We were supposed to be doing this back in, you know, the year 2000.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think all that guy did at the very end is just, raise awareness for gyrocopters.
Yes. So can you get your drone army to, like, follow you from a cautious distance while you're flying your gyrocopter?
Did you see the Saturday Night Live skit? It was all over the television this morning as I was getting ready.
No.
It had a Pictionary game show style thing, and, you know, you're supposed to draw what's on the card, and the card said the Prophet Muhammad. And, yeah, the reactions were spot on. It was pretty good. That's worth looking up if you haven't seen it.
That is funny. That discussion has gone around and around. I would love to organize an event with the way what's her name did, Pamela Geller did. I'd love to organize an event, but I would specifically like get, you know, like the local state guard. There's different like ratified state militias that are actually like certified to protect as a policing unit in different states. DC has the DC Protection Militia. I can't remember the name of it, but what I'd like to do, and they're not in any way discriminatory, they're completely non-denominational, and they're completely open to everyone of every race. I'm not talking about the Montana Freeman. I'm talking about a legit militia. And I would like to basically organize a... What was that?
Except the Irish. They don't want the Irish.
Okay, well, yeah. Allow the blacks, but no Irish! That's, Blazing Saddles, right? It's Blazing Saddles,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yep, Blazing Saddles.
What I found is get a volunteer force from one of the local, state, and, you know, federally recognized militias. So no one can say, you're putting people's lives in danger. Like, you know, everyone there volunteered to be there, and I guarantee you, you're going to find a lot of people in the... you know, the state ratified and federally ratified militias that'll be happy to protect their freedom. So.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, I don't see a need. You know, enough people are already antagonizing those kind of folks. You know, there's entire magazines, you know, devoted to it. I have kids. You know, I really don't want to be killed by anybody.
Well, here's what I'd like to do. How about this then? How about we set up one in Ciudad Juarez? Well, we'll set up our, you know, draw a picture of Muhammad contest in Ciudad Juarez, and so it'll be like a magnet drawing, you know, drawing the terrorists back over the border to the other side. They recently detained like seven dudes coming over the border from suspect countries. It's like, oh, that's terrifying. They were coming over the Mexican border, and not from Mexico. They were coming from Iran and Yemen and Libya, you know, respectively, not all at the same time. These are just situations that they found is people come over here from a country that has a big terrorist issue and would be a red flag if they wound up in one of our airports. Instead of coming to our airport, they come to Mexico. And then they come across the border as if they're illegal immigrants. That's the thing that always infuriates me is whenever anyone who says, you know, we should have border security, and they go, you hate immigrants. You hate those who are just coming out to buy their better life. You are evil. And it's like, shut up. Just shut up. Security is security. You leave the doors to your house unlocked, you know? Oh, you lock the doors to your house? You hate your own children. Your own children need to go in and out the doors of your house. You hate them. No, of course, you can unlock the door instead, right? You know how to open and close your own door, but you still have a lock in there, so when you leave, common sense, right? You put locks on your door. So, yeah, it's, you know, the thought of having some baseline of border security makes sense because you have some shady people who have come across open borders. And, you know, I don't want to have to keep pounding this because I feel like the more I say it, the less it sounds like I mean it, but it's always been true. You're letting right-wing nutjobs through. You're letting hyper-conservative nutjobs through. And if you are a true liberal like me, you should be like, hey, that guy is sexist and racist and against and, you know, a jingo for his own culture's nation. That's a hyper-conservative nutjob. As a liberal, I shouldn't support him being able to do everything that he's doing or wants to do. You know, my tolerance should end there, right? My tolerance should end at, like, a free place where everyone can interact together safely. That's where my tolerance ends. When somebody starts saying, I'm a hyper-conservative person and I'm from Iran, you have to be tolerant of me because you said you'd be tolerant. And now it's time for me to change your laws, your place, and make the place hyper-conservative, sexist, and racist. That's where you stop being tolerant and you start being liberal. You start being progressive. Tolerance and progressive and liberalness, you know, being liberal isn't always just being blanket tolerant. So, yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sorry, there's going to be beeping for a second here as my car, because I've got a enough lap sitting on my passenger seat to weigh as much as a small human. Laptops. I'm recycling a stack of laptops for a local charity.
Oh, that's sweet.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, the key thing, and this is just, you know, professional tip here, always make sure you just flat out destroy the hard drive of a computer that is going to recycle. Or, you know, if there's not sensitive data on it, wipe that sucker. There are ways to wipe it in such a way that, you know, only somebody with a scanning electron microscope and a federal grant would be able to get data back off of it. You know, which is kind of frustrating because, you know, I've got some people who don't, you know, they'll say, oh, here's how to really erase a hard drive. And then somebody with a scanning electron microscope can spend 6 weeks getting 4 lines of text off of the hard drive. And then other paranoid people go, see, look, that means it's not safe to just erase those drives. I'm like, you know, nobody has that much time to go after your data unless you are, you know, Manuel Noriega.
Yeah, unless you're sending tweets back and forth between the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood.
What's that?
I said, you know, the way Huma Abedin does every day.
Yeah. Well, and other people that are running for president.
Jeb Bush. I can't stand the establishment when it comes to, you know, our allies there, because we have a. We have a weird establishment. I don't trust John McCain, you know, a classic establishment Republican. He's had a friendly relationship with the Muslim Brotherhood. As a liberal, I can tell you the Muslim Brotherhood's progressive track record is slightly less liberal than another nonprofit outreach fraternal service group that Americans know of as the Ku Klux Klan. The Muslim Brotherhood is just right of the Ku Klux Klan, and Hillary Clinton full-fledged supports as well as what's his name, John McCain on the Republican side. I am very disappointed with our government. And yes, Huma Abedin is an Eastern Star for the Masons. Huma Abedin is that for the Muslim Brotherhood. She's in the women's auxiliary group there. It's pretty infuriating that people just sort of bat their eyes at that and go, oh, that's just politics as normal. And it's like, no, that's a terrorist group. That's a right-wing hate group that hates black African Christians and all Jews. So it's not something we should be batting our eyes at and saying, oh, well, you know, boys will be boys, politicians will be politicians. No, stop it. But yes, I also wanted to say, you were talking about deleting hard drives and phones and stuff like that. And I have to say some praise for that TV show, House of Cards. Have you ever watched any of this?
I know I like it, but it doesn't have talking animals in it, so, you know, I'm not allowed to watch it at home.
Yes, the curse of the blessing of children.
Yes. As soon as Kevin Spacey is sitting there talking to some kind of Muppet-looking dumbish,
we could edit that in, edit all the, like, the controversial characters, and just edit like a Muppet into every scene.
There you go.
That's, we could do that. Just superimpose Donald Duck over Kate Mara. I don't know how we're going to work the sex scenes. We're going to have to do a lot of superimposing.
Just, you know, Cookie Monster and Cookie things flying all over the place, censoring all the good bits.
That's disturbing. So I have to say that I'm very impressed with how real the show is, because it gets into the dark and dirtiness of politics, because, you know, there are so many shows that are like, I'm a Democrat politician, and I just want the best for the world. And the evil Republicans, they are shady, and they do shady things. And the truth is, all politicians do shady things. And, if I may speak freely, when you look at the Clintons, when you look at Rahm Emanuel, when you look at Barack Obama, when you look at the history of Chicago and Baltimore and classic Democrat strongholds, you don't get shadier than the Democrats. Like, they... And so, I got so sick of there being all these shows where it's like, the Democrats are just, oh, we just want to help the children! And the evil Republicans are doing shady things behind the scenes. And, you know, they're the only ones who do shady politics and stuff. It's just aggravating, and I'm so refreshed to see House of Cards show just the gritty crumminess of politics, and specifically Democrat politics.
Of everybody?
Basically just the Democrats, because it focuses on Democrats.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, you know, it's like he had no chance of winning. He knows he has no chance of winning. And, you know, I was not entirely happy that he had a good chunk of money invested with private prisons, you know.
Right.
There's that heartbreaking case where the one judge was getting paid by the prison to, you know, trump up charges against kids. Her kid gets busted with a joint and ends up dead in prison.
Gee, Liz.
You know, because the judge was getting a kickback. And I'm like, yeah, there's a clear path of punishment there, though.
Yeah, and that's infuriating. I hate the way they've monetized the prison system. And they do it in a way that doesn't help rehabilitate people, you know?
Our prisons are not about rehabilitation at all. And I mean, that's where, and, you know, my thing is, we're putting people in jail for things that are goofy to be putting somebody in jail for.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Yeah. Well, you know, the police are too busy to even take the due diligence to find who killed Alonzo Skinny, but you know, they'll get you for having more than an ounce of weed, though.
Yeah.
You know, murderers walk free, but you might be doing 7 years for that 1.2 ounces of weed.
Yeah. Well, I remember in Texas, there's a guy, he killed two people. He was out in 2.5 years. At the same time, a little old lady didn't file her taxes for 4 years, and she got 7 in the state of the federal band. And I'm like, yeah. Jaminy. Yeah, I'll mess with the IRS money. I've never smoked a joint. I'm not going to smoke a joint, but, you know, putting somebody, you know, putting a pothead behind bars for it, you know, and especially when you have states like California and all that are, legalized, or Colorado's more legalized it, right? California,
yeah, for recreational.
Like, you have migraines.
Yeah, you don't even need migraines in Colorado.
You stop the liver, my pretend you have migraines joke.
What was that?
Said you stop the liver, my pretend you have migraines joke.
Sorry. Oh, man, did you ever hear that radio ad where the lady talks about migraine? And how migraine is an epidemic, and you know, there's so many people who get migraine every year, and it's the weirdest commercial because I've never ever heard any migraine headache sufferer or somebody who got migraines. I've never heard them say migraine.
I wonder if it comes from England, because they'll say though I've heard somewhat, well, of course they pronounce it migraine, but. you know, I've heard him say, you've given me migraine.
That's funny. That
sparks another question I have for you. Do you say in the meantime or meantime?
I say in the meantime or meanwhile.
Yeah. On the news here...
Yeah.
Three times this morning, and I've seen it before, but the fact that it just kept happening in every segment, they would just say, meantime, you know, Smith was unable to, you know, and so I wondered if that was a our upbringing, our area thing, because I asked around today a couple of people, and they're like, oh, no, you just say meantime. So I wonder if that's a regional thing or a...
Well, we weren't... We're not from any region. We're from all over the United States. And so,
if it was on Street
nationally, if it was from New York or Los Angeles, we are aware of it. We don't have a regional or local accent because of our upbringing. So yes, that sounds as if it's a clear Central Virginia-ism. Do you know what they do up here in D.C. that drives me nuts? Okay, clearly that Central Virginia-ism is a mixing together of in the meantime and meanwhile.
Meanwhile, right.
Yes. So they've sort of squished it together and they've said meantime the way one would say meanwhile. Now, in D.C. area, there's the term every so often and the term ever since. Those are two English idioms. And in the D.C. area, they say every since.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts because it doesn't, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It doesn't. Every sense.
Every sense. I've actually heard that one when I was up in D.C. when they said every sense.
Yeah. And it bothers the crap out of me because it's like, you know, if you think about it in English, the term ever since means ever, period of time, ever. You know, ever means a period of time, and then since means a finite point in time. So you're saying,
right,
ever since, the finite point of time since here, and it's, you know, since a while, a long time, I can remember this happening. But if you say every,
right,
which means each individual, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. You're saying each individual point of time, I can remember.
Hey, unless they're spelling it, every, no, it still wouldn't make sense, yeah. I was thinking every since, S-E-N-S-E, but no, even that doesn't make sense. Now, well, here's the way to spot a New Yorker, even if they're good at disguising their accent, you can ferret them out because they'll say, hey, I'm going to go stand online.
Yes, the online in New York.
That's the only place in the entire country that does it. I mean, yeah, the pop and soda people can, you know, shoot it out all they want. You know, I'm actually starting to lose my pop, you know, I'm saying soda here in Virginia. People quit looking at me like I have antlers growing out of my head whenever I say pop. you know, that's the one. New York's the only place in the whole stinking country where they stand online, not in line, you know. And it's a mindset thing because you're like, you know, I'm going to go stand in line. In other words, you know, and it's like, or I'm going to go get in traffic. In other words, I'm going to become part of traffic. You know, I'm going to go stand in line and I'll be part of the line. Whereas in New York, it's kind of a bizarre philosophical thing. There is a theoretical line that, you know, travels either through them or on the ground, and they're going to stand on it. You know, it's a much more esoteric philosophical role of this theoretical line.
That's clever, and I like that you overestimate instead of underestimate. My thought is the underestimation. How long ago can you find reference to a New Yorker saying the term online?
You're thinking it started around the 80s?
Yeah, the 80s or 90s, because the term online gets into the zeitgeist, and then people just start attributing it to, you know, a normal daily task. The way whenever a new, pop culture term gets introduced into the zeitgeist, people attribute it most oftentimes to stuff that was not the original intention. You know, like shorty. Like, there are several different terms for shorty. And and a lot of times people are like, oh, that means children. Like, no.
Yeah, it's That's now meaning girlfriend more than...
Right. Well, it had a lot of super negative connotations, you know, that were basically like girlfriend, but more demeaning.
The kids that brought back housed, you know, from the 80s. You know, I remember housed, H-O-U-S-E-D, like, man, I was hungry, so I housed that whole plate of cookies. And these kids thought they invented that term.